Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH episode 60, I believe. This is a speedrun episode, and with me I have the glorious Greek Nike, and I'm Anglo.
How's it going?
It's going fantastic.
Are you braving the cold?
Yeah, I'm freezing my butt off, you know, wearing shorts and stuff. No, I don't wear shorts.
Listening to Vampire Weekend?
No, never listening to Vampire Weekend.
Only reason to wear shorts.
That is the
quintessential time of year.
Yeah, Locke's shorts, as we figured out last episode. If you guys are wondering about the erratic upload schedule, we just have, you know, Nike and I have different
real fucking lives.
Yeah, so things get in the way. So I was hoping to upload every Wednesday, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. Just hold your horses and hold your britches and expect the unexpected, like that degenerate Big Brother TV show.
The Dingoes put it quite eloquently in a recent episode, saying that each release of the Convict Report is neither early nor late, but it is right on time for its preordained release.
Very Calvinist. It's a very Calvinist way of living.
Yes, podcast predestination.
Yeah. Not saying
you'll get it when God planned for you to get it.
Yeah, and God planned for maybe Thursday or Friday. Who knows? Probably Thursday.
Can you use the Book of Revelations to numerologically determine what day of the week the next podcast is supposed to go on?
There's got
to
be a listener who's into that who probably does that kind of stuff, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, don't do that because it's gay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, we're not biblically important. I mean, I think that's kind of a given.
Yeah, but not only that, it's also just bad practice to try to, like, use numerology for soothsaying.
Oh, yeah, numerology, that's kind of like Gemara or whatever in the Kabbalah.
Gematria.
Or Gematria, is that what it's, whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but numerology, like, I've never been into that stuff. It's always been
Yeah, biblical numerology, like, there's definitely numeral symbols in the Bible.
The only numerology I'm into is 1488.
Significance. But, like, you're not going to divine the future from whatever, like...
Not
going to
divine our upload schedules.
Yeah, that you definitely won't.
Yeah, how have you been in general in the past week or so? Just chilling, doing your stuff?
Chilling. One might say freezing.
Freezing. Oh, yeah.
You know, keeping it real, keeping it cold.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of Z stuff.
Like a play you do.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of Z stuff, taking Z classes at very weird times, because they're the only times available. So that's another reason. I'll be at school and Nike's available, and vice versa. He'll be doing his thing at school, and I'll be at home.
Take classes at Hyperborean hours.
Yeah, Hyperborean University, HU. Hoopst University. Nah.
I actually got waitlisted from Hyperborean University. I'm now just going to Ethnostate.
Oh, yeah. What would be their,
the Whiteys?
The Whiteys. What do they call that? I'm so tired that I forgot what that's called. Mascot. There we go.
A mascot?
Yeah, so it would be the Whiteys for the Ethnostate. For Hyperborea, it would be the
I don't know, the Thulians?
Yeah, the Thulian Perspectives.
Nah, that would be like the name. That would be like the name of their literary mag.
Yeah,
it has to be something erudite. Not everybody gets accepted into the Hyperborean U.
Yeah, it exists on the astral plane. It's not even real.
You know, they have like special names, nicknames for people who go there. They call you a Bori if you go to Hyperborean University.
Man, you're very boring. Good joke.
Would you be one of the main editors for Thulian Perspective?
No, to them, it'd probably make me do the Semitic perspective or something, because I'm a degenerate Christian who believes in foreign gods or whatever they say.
You can't describe that level of like ideological rigidity to it, because it'll still be a modern university.
Oh,
you'd be like the diversity
a diversity counts.
You'd be the diversity editor of Thulian Perspective.
Yeah, I wonder what our universities will be like in ethno-state. If you're very Lulbert, you'd say cancel universities and learning and just do practical things.
If you were me, just say it's Academy 2.
Academy 2.0, Plato, all them dudes.
That's right.
For me, because I subscribe to more of schizophrenic right, so I would say like a Diogenes sort of style university.
You just have like a barrel.
Yeah. Is it a tub or a barrel or both?
I think all of these are anachronistic projections from the Romantic and Enlightenment era.
Did we make the connection like a few episodes back, like a while ago, that Diogenes was basically the ancient G.G. Allen? Was that us?
Yeah.
That's how it be.
I mean, you could compare a lot of people today to Diogenes just because people who... I mean, there's a lot to critique in our society that we live in. And, like, he was the first person to be like...
We live in a society.
We live in a society.
Yeah.
And I think, as we said in another prior episode, Plato was like, nah, we live in a republic.
And then Thales is like, we live in water.
Thales was like, I'm a fish, nigga.
We live in SeaWorld.
I'm gonna get my flux on. Like I'm an Anaximander.
Yeah. Turn my flux on like that girl's t-shirt in the last episode. Flux mode on.
Flux mode. Watch me flux on these niggas. No flux zone.
No flux zone.
That's how, what's his name? Spinoza came into it. He's like, nah, we live in the no flux zone.
Yeah, there is no flux zone. We are all emanations of God or whatever. Something
monads.
Like that. Yeah, no, that's Leibniz, my nigga.
I'm telling you, they both used that.
They may have, but you might get
or at least people who write about them both use that terminology.
I could say, when I read about Spinoza,
they use monad.
Okay, you could be right. But maybe not in the sense of Leibniz. I've only read some Leibniz. I haven't read Spinoza, so you probably have more experience than I do. So I defer to you.
Oy vey.
Yeah. You're my rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva.
Baruch Spinoza.
Oy! Didn't he move to the Netherlands? Set it up? He's a Dutch.
Let me be like you, Goyim. I don't like these Jews.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck off, Kike.
Yeah.
Oh. He was just like he was a wannabe Goy. He wasn't like trying to do the whole like shape shifting subversion thing. He was just a self hating Jew who wanted to be like normal.
He was literally an optics cuck. Wasn't he a lens crafter?
I don't remember if he was or not, but that would be quite fitting.
Maybe that's another revelation from the previous episode. I'm having deja vu with that.
We like to rehash our own content here because you probably didn't listen to that episode anyway, dear listener. Yeah.
There's so many podcasts, but hey, we live in an era of abundance, and that's good for abundance for our ears.
Yes.
Auditory abundance. And
I think there's several commenters who've noted the lack of an RSS feed, and this is an accurate analysis there, dear listeners. There is no RSS feed. Get used to it.
Yeah, it sucks, but... For our purposes, archive is the best option. That's what we got to go with.
If you're a smart and enterprising person, you can figure it out. But
it's like a limited release cassette from some black metal band.
Our uploads are in flux.
Yeah. It's like the early Bursum from Varg. Did you ever get into Bursum?
No.
I mean, it was okay. It was better than most of the other black metal bands. Again, I'm not into black metal anymore because of its obvious Luciferian influences, or everything bad influence.
What I've heard from that album, I've enjoyed. Thought it's okay.
Yeah, it's not something I'm not gonna wear a t-shirt, buddy.
But like, yeah.
Nothing funnier than see a black dude. Black dude wearing a Bursum t-shirt. Happens. And I'm feeling deja vu again. Maybe we've talked about that before, like 3 years ago.
I think we talked about some YouTube React guy. He's like one of these Z-list YouTubers who will just take any fan recommendation to make reaction videos to.
Oh yeah.
And somebody suggested Bursum. He's like, I really like this. And then people in the chat started explaining who Varg was. And it's like, you tell me this shit is racist? Man, everything white people be making out here be good as shit, but racist as fuck, yo.
I've seen white dudes with, like, Public Enemy t-shirts and stuff, you know.
I mean, that's fine.
That's just self-hating bug. Well, not even bug. Beard men.
It could just be, irony.
Yeah, there's always going to be the element of irony, but they still are probably shit libs. It's like they recognize, oh, it's funny white. I'm wearing this Public Enemy t-shirt, but at the same time, they really don't like white people. Or they just don't. They're just busy tweeting about vegan something or crap like vegan bacon.
Yeah, instead of a Public Enemy shirt, you should have a Public Image Limited shirt.
Public Image. I like them.
That's more appropriate for the white man.
Yes. I've said this so many times. The first album was really good. A lot of bands, that's the case. But I like the first album of Public Image Limited. PIL, because I was a big fan of the Sex Pistols as a kid. And so it was like the next progression, obviously, is going to be PIL from our friend, I guess, John Lydon. It's getting kind of thick recently. Johnny Rotten, eating a lot of butter because he did that butter commercial. Did you ever see that?
No.
People hated that because it's like, oh, you're a sellout. It's like, I think they've been sellouts for like 30 years, dude.
This is an interesting quote here. I just saw from our wonderful source of infinite content, Wikipedia. Public Image Limited went to Tel Aviv to headline Heineken Music Conference 2010
Festival this.
In August 2010. The group was met with criticism for breaking the artistic boycott of Israel by some British musicians, done in protest over Israeli policies towards Palestinians. Lydon said in response, "I really resent the presumption that I'm going there to play to right-wing Nazi Jews. If Elvis fucking Costello wants to pull out of a gig in Israel because he's suddenly got this compassion for Palestinians, then good on him. But I have absolutely one rule, right? Until I see an Arab country, a Muslim country, with a democracy, I won't understand how anyone can have a problem with how they're treated." Damn. This is like serious hating on them, our Arabs.
Yeah, this is like the...
like, basically the take that they are too retarded to have their own country.
Yeah.
To deserve one.
We don't get like, PIL until they have democracy, mate.
He's like, yeah, Palestinians live there, but why the fuck should we let them run shit? They have no track record of making that work.
Well, didn't he support Brexit or something?
You won't be allowed into Damascus to play for the wonderful Assad family.
Didn't he like Brexit or something? I know more.
I don't know.
It's one of those things where the Brit is almost based. They like Brexit or maybe even UKIP, but they don't like Trump because Trump's too extreme or something.
Yeah, they're still an Anglo, so that's, you know, always going to rear its problematic head.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you say.
Look, I just don't like how they treat our gays, okay? If we're going to have fags that don't go into a cigarette tray, then I don't want Muslims to have a word on it.
I think I saw something this week in Oi Brov News about some hapless motherfucker getting arrested or questioned by police in the UK. So he liked a meme with transphobic messaging in it, and he was either questioned or even outright arrested by police at his own home. Because I guess they keep track of these things in the UK. You know, what your likes include and what social media posts you're looking at and making.
That's very progressive.
Yeah. And not only are they monitoring it, but they will ask some follow-ups if they have any uncertainties or questions about the nature of this content you are consuming.
Oi, mate. You know you're supposed to like trannies around here. No, that sounds Australian. You're supposed to like Sheilas around here. You know, Australian accent is not as good as the, like, Manchester accent.
Look, mate, if she got a feminine penis, I was even gay. I mean, you've got to explain to the judge why you think it's gay. But, you know, if that's my own opinion, it scares to me that it's not gay.
All right, it's not gay, innit, to like a girl's penis, right? All right, it's not that bad, innit?
Right, bro, but I still got to rest, yeah?
Right, yeah, you're all right, knobhead, if you think that it's bad to be transgender. I always evolve into the Australian.
Yeah, it's the pool of the global south, I guess.
Say a ginger. I went to Outback like a week ago. That's very patriot, like very Australian thing for me to do. I went to Outback.
Yeah, did you go on Australia Day?
I don't remember when I don't know. I may have coincidentally, not on purpose. But I had shrimp. It was like called shrimp from the Bobby or something like that. Something very typical. And it gave me, what was it, like 6 shrimp and that's it? Didn't even come with a freaking side or there was no potatoes or anything. It was just shrimp. It was a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like a lame meal deal.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, to be fair, it was an appetizer, but I wanted shrimp really bad, but they didn't really have. But it would, no, but
what
like.
Was the appetizer?
I know, but it's the price of a meal and it's like. I wanted shrimp really bad, and that was the one I wanted. I don't know.
Yeah, Australia Day was back on Saturday.
Nah, it was before that.
Okay.
Yeah, go to Mecca's on 4th of July and eat.
That's right. Get yourself a burger.
Like when you flexed on the Greeks when you...
Yes.
And got a McGreek, whatever it's called.
A Greek Mac.
A Greek Mac. Deutschmark.
A Deutschmark.
Yeah. Yeah. McDonald's is, you know, I'm going to shill for McDonald's for a bit in terms of taste. It's not that bad tasting-wise. Maybe I have very uncultured taste buds. But hey, I've been expanding. You know, I've been having some Sicilian food. That's pretty good. I like myself some anchovy pasta and stuff like that. But I like McDonald's. It tastes good. But the thing is, it's so expensive nowadays. It's ridiculous compared to what it used to be when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, not even just a kid. Like, 2 years ago, it was like it cost you like $10 to eat there and get a meal, pretty much.
I mean, they've had to totally redo their business model because of, like, you know, people not going to eat there anymore, just to find a way to squeeze more cash out of the fewer people who do.
Yeah. I liked going there because you would just get, yeah, you weren't expecting gourmet food because it's fast food anyways. You're just like in a crunch.
I mean, sometimes I really have to wonder whether or not the taste preferences I had as a kid were just from an immature palate or if the quality really has appreciably declined as I've aged.
And with regard to McDonald's?
In regard to a lot of things, but McDonald's being a very universal example to compare to. That when I was a kid, you know, McDonald's food was pretty good and, like, not that I had a really great baseline to compare to, but the quality, you know, seemed better back then. And
yeah,
it's impossible for me to tell the difference between falling quality or just growing up and having a more refined taste.
Another factor is management. Some McDonald's go downhill because the managers suck or the people they employ suck. But I, you know.
Oh, dude, tell me about it.
Nonetheless, I would not take my kids, or I will not take my kids to McDonald's. I'll be one
of
those.
Oh, yeah, hell no.
But I did like it as a kid, and I still like it as a guilty pleasure.
I don't like it anymore because it just tastes bad to me.
Well, I haven't been there in a long time, so I couldn't say. I mean, it's been like a year.
I will choose like a Burger King.
Oh, Burger King. What the heck? That was nasty when I was young. No, I like Burger King.
Burger King actually has like good ingredients, at least the ones around me. I think the ones, I don't know. I don't know how they're managed, actually. No idea.
Yeah, the Burger King, I haven't had that in 10 years, probably. No, maybe like 5 years. Not a fan of it. I mean, I'm not really a fan of fast food per se because I like to get, you know, as I've gotten older, I realize and I appreciate nutrition. You know.
Oh yeah.
And good food as well. And my palate has changed. Like I like olives now. I didn't used to when I was a kid. I hated olives. They're like the nastiest thing.
Come home, med man.
So I just put olives in, you know, I think some of the Sicilian food has like olives in it. Another thing that I've always liked raisins, but Sicilian food also uses raisins. That's surprisingly amazing in pasta.
Yeah, raisins are
and anchovy as well. Quality.
I'm not a huge fan of anchovy, but you know,
I mean, it's not
in the right dish.
If it's not so tasty on its own, but if you use it as instead of salt, what you do is you saute.
Oh yeah, no. If you just use salt and or you replace salt with anchovies, you're golden.
Yeah, exactly. You just let it dissolve in the pan with the onion, and it tastes.
I hate overly salty food.
Yeah, and anchovy gives you that special umami or whatever. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But anchovy overlooked, perhaps in the Nordic world or the northern world. Yeah, and breadcrumbs too. In Sicily, they were too poor for cheese, so they would use breadcrumbs instead. It tastes so good. They were too poor for Parmesan, and so they had to get breadcrumbs. I mean, it's good though. I don't know. It's a cuisine I'm starting to appreciate, though there aren't really any Sicilian restaurants. So I have to appreciate it. You know, by making the dishes myself. And of course, I know how proud Italians are with their food, and I probably did something wrong. I probably didn't use the right tomato paste or something, and they would go autistic.
Mm. Speaking of autistic, I purchased a weighted blanket.
I don't even know what that is. Like, it's, to sleep in?
Sleep underneath.
That sounds actually really cool.
Supposedly, it's supposed to promote restfulness and calmness, and it's marketed towards children and adults with ADHD and autism. I don't know why. I guess it's a portable hug box if you think about it.
That actually sounds really cool.
I will let you know if I have any different opinions about 20th century war machines tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and are you going to start painting planes?
Will my preferences for them depreciably decline when I wake up? Will my interest in
I'm just thinking about sleeping with a weighted blanket.
And public transportation just disappear.
Oh, like it would cure it. So it would cure your autism.
Yeah. I mean, presumably that's
what
they're trying to sell you on, unless they wouldn't want it to like accelerate autism now, would they? Who would buy that?
Me?
Only woke niggas would buy that.
But we're all asleep because we live in a society.
Ooh, you can't sell a blanket to a woke nigga, can you?
I have someone in one of my classes, and it's a guy of a non-European descent, and his reaction to everything publicly out loud is, "Oh, whoa, mind blown." You know,
does he say mind blown?
Yeah.
Wow, that is cringe.
Yeah, it's pretty cringe. And that's his reaction, like publicly. It's like, okay. it's like,
be like, hey, did you just like come out of the 2011 coma?
Yeah, some people are stuck. I remember like 6 months ago, I saw someone with a Harambe sticker on their car. It's like, rest in peace, Harambe. what else did I see?
Oh no.
I saw some guy with like a flame shirt, but not in the cool hipster or Dreamcast vibe Instagram model sense. He drove a car and it said like D's nuts on it, and that was like 2 years ago. It was already way irrelevant at the time.
Are you saying that just because I dunked on you with that one last episode?
Yeah, it was you. Nikkei wears flame shirts.
I have two different flaming 8-ball t-shirts.
Flaming 8-ball. You don't have like a flaming dragon? No, a tiger or something? I had
I'm actually in the a firm believer in the Guy Fieri school of fashion, where it's the flaming 8-ball.
I got the.
I don't know if he actually wears a flaming 8-ball, but he exudes the flaming 8-ball personality.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. It's a part of a new fashion. I mean, I've noticed it for the like past 4 or 5 years, but it's really getting bigger now. The sort of ugly flame t-shirt. Now all the really cool kids are wearing it, and they'll spend $50 on a retro flame t-shirt. And they'll wear ugly shoes. What is that? Those called feels? FILS? I don't know. Right in the feels. But
huh.
I did have a Was it a flame shirt? It was in the same style. It was similar to a flame shirt. It had Chinese characters on it. There's also that aesthetic when I was a kid, that sort of kung fu flame aesthetic.
I will say that the flaming eight ball bowling shirt is the last stand of explicit white identity.
Meth identity.
Meth identity.
No, I don't know if that's... Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Guy Fieri, he is an icon. We could admit that.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember how I showed you those tweets about Tony Hawk in the race war?
No.
Oh, well, there are these tweets. This Negro put out a tweet that said it was just like this gif from a movie where this black guy in a trench coat and slicker hat looks like he's crying as he's holding a gun out like he's going to kill somebody, but it pains him to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he captioned it, "Me when I have to kill Tony Hawk in the race war." And then Tony Hawk responded to this, like, oh. Verified Tony Hawk on Twitter responded, and he's like, "Thanks for hesitating, at least." Or like something like, "I appreciate the hesitation." And I just got fucking livid at this. Like, you think we're going to let you get close enough to Field Marshal Hawk
for
you to assassinate him like that before you have to go through me? Fuck you.
No,
you're going to have to kill me and all my niggas before you get to the Hawk.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be that easy, motherfucker.
Yes. I also like how that sort of humor is permitted on Twitter. It probably had 80,000 retweets.
Oh, yeah, no, it blew up, which is why Tony Hawk saw it and replied to it.
Yeah, so you'll have things like that that are just, it's like, let's shame a grandma for saying something racist, you know. Yeah, Twitter is kind of really the mob mentality to its...
It is, but...
There's some fun
The important
things.
Lesson here, I was... making a point that Tony Hawk will be the Erwin Rommel of the race war, and Guy Fieri will be like what's his name? Von Manfield?
Von Mises?
No. The German general.
We're Austrians now.
Oh god.
Remember when Ron Paul said that after his
Von Manstein.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Guy Fieri will be our Von Manstein.
Guy Fieri will just be our cook because I want to eat some good food. In Minecraft.
Do you know of any famous figures from the Axis that were known for cooking?
Lil B.
Lil B, famous member of the Axis.
I don't know. There's gotta be some cook here somewhere.
And he was like famous for being the head chef on the Yamato. Cooked that wonton soup.
Yeah. Oh, I like food. I like food too much. I'm not fat or anything, but I think Americans, I notice when I listen to American content, especially more casual podcasts, we always end up talking about food.
Food is universal, man.
It is, but we like, oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. Some of the casual podcasts, non-political podcasts I listen to, they'll talk about fast food for like 30 minutes straight. It's like, oh gosh, come on. Don't make the Europoids see us in this state. Yeah.
Nah, who cares what they think? They pay to copy us anyway.
Yeah.
To their own detriment, might I add.
Yeah.
Like, you niggas explicitly know better, and yet you still pay a premium for this.
Like, Euros would be like, oh, American, so stupid, fit! And then they'll, like, do everything American at the same... It's like, you can choose, right? You have free will. You could
yes.
I don't know. I mean, there is a such thing as sort of just stupid anti-Americanism, meaning cultural, like, oh, I just hate the American everything.
See, they wouldn't
complain
if we were
Canadians. But then there's, like, justified.
Canadians.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like, there's this meme that foreigners love Canadian tourists relative to Americans. So, like, it's a hipster tourist gag to, or I guess trope to... put like a Canadian flag patch on your backpack, or like wear a Canadian flag draped on your backpack as you're like hiking through foreign countries. because if you signal being Canadian, foreigners will like you better and want to show you hospitality
Showing the flags being an American is a little showing the flags a little too nationalistic. A real Canadian would never do that.
Well, think of it. Now you're the minority in this other country, so that gives you the excuse to go off.
Us Canadians, my neighbor's Chinese. My neighbor's Indian as well. We got both on both sides. We live in peace. Okay.
It's the same person.
It's me. I'm Chinese and Indian.
I am my own neighbor. I am Chinese. I am Indian. I am Canadian.
Yeah, bro. Y'all, bro. And I also, a few weeks ago, I've talked about these places, but this one was really bad. I went to a Chinese market just to sort of entertain myself. This is one I didn't know about. And it's not even in a Chinese area, which is really funny, but they have this one random Chinese market. And I went in to kind of like the same thing you do to kind of watch a shocking video on the internet, just to sort of your curiosity. And oh boy, was this place bad. They're selling every part of the body of like the pigs and all the food, all the cattle, and they just had it just smelled of rotten fish, and all the vegetables were like pre-packaged in this like saran wrap. It was really weird. Nothing was in English. People were staring at me, and they had fish tanks where you could buy live fish to eat, and they're swimming in dirty, filthy water. It was just the grossest thing. I've never seen anything like that. I was visibly disgusted. I don't know. Have you ever been to something like that? That's like the only foreign markets I've been to have been Chinese. I've never been to like a Muslim one. I know there's a few of those.
Well, when I was in Europe, going to a famous like medium to high end clothing store called Zara, I came across this hilarious, t-shirt. And in the same vein of like signaling being Canadian as you're playing tourist, they were selling this t-shirt, which is black, and on the front you have a melting Canadian flag, and above the flag is the word Milan, spelled like the city name. And I'm looking at this.
You're trying
like,
to interpret it.
This is like English.
Yeah.
But like this is not like some gook ass store with you know, you shouldn't see English at Zara. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So this was just supposedly some designer being artistic, I guess, and being like, Milan, melting Canada. I don't even know if it's ironic. It's just like pretentious.
Milan. Well, I guess Milan will be the headquarters of the anti-Canadian revolution when we finally melt Canada. I guess. I don't know what the...
Yeah, I have no idea how to like rake. Interpret this.
I just think it's funny. Maybe there's, you know, it's if just, the designer's...
Laughing my
I would wear it because it's so retarded.
And I had to take a picture of it and send it to a certain person we both know just to piss him off, and he was like, fuck you. I'm like, I'm not even in some bizarre third Chinese world store in the United States. I am at a high class
Europe. You could do that in America. You could just go, even in places you wouldn't think there are those types of people, you could find some weird ethnic store.
They find a way to stay in business somehow. It's probably it's a front for something else. Who knows?
I've never been to like a Muslim store though. That'd be scary.
Well, you're lucky.
Yeah, probably smells too.
Because they fucking stink.
Dude, what's up with...
You preempted it, man. I was really about to say that. I was in the middle of saying it when you said that.
What's up with them? They don't
stink, man. They're so gross.
Is it worse than Chinese? Because I don't know. There's really nothing worse than rotten fish.
Oh, man. I was...
At least the Koreans and Japanese are civilized with that stuff.
Sitting next to this hijabi in class... And like, bro.
Dude, they're pushing too.
I don't know. She just like does. I think she. I mean, she looked Pakistani.
Uh huh.
And like, I don't know if she just doesn't wash.
Wash
the hijab, or doesn't wash herself. But like, I'm pretty sure it was the hijab because it smelled like dirty clothes and not like body.
Oh no!
And it's just like this is like I can smell wet dog next to me. And like she was like this like tiny little 4 foot 10, fully grown adult woman, you know, my age, but, you know, I'm a fully grown adult. And, like, she's just not, like, doesn't have an attitude. She's just, like, this tiny, quiet, soft-spoken person. Like, the only kind of person that exists at 4'10".
Yeah.
And it's, like, you don't want to be mean to this person because, like, not only could you physically crush them, but they give you that vibe. You could totally emotionally crush them if you, like, said anything mean to them. Yeah. So, like, I just had to hold my breath and sit there and be like, please, God, get me out of here. Because I don't want to just, like, visibly gag and like, make her self-conscious, but it was the worst thing.
Well, I thought people on the alt-right were just evil people and we would taunt her. It's almost like we're human. And
because, like, I don't have any inclination to bully strangers.
See, exactly. That's just the whole Hollywood meme. We don't do that.
Like, you can like, bants people you know.
But you can't do it.
And people will, like, know that it's banter. But, like, you can't just call us, you can't, like, go up to a tiny stranger and be like, you fucking reek.
Reek.
Like, sure, dude. get out of my country and, like, you know, take your family with you, but, like, I'm not going to publicly berate and abuse you.
Take your cousin slash husband with you.
You're like this tiny, vulnerable person. You know,
but that's the, like, idea
that's
that
just
we're
like
gonna
punching down on this physically minuscule woman.
Boy, well, you know, I was just
not very
toying with an idea how the left views us as these psychopaths who hate other races when we have normal interactions with them. We treat them like humans. We just have
Don't get me wrong. I show no respect to Turkish people ever in any circumstance. So had this woman been visibly Turkish, I would definitely have just ripped her shit apart. But
take a shower. What is this? Turkish bathhouse?
With that one exception, I will, refrain from being a public antagonist.
I noticed that the hijabis were, in my daily life, are very aggressive. Like in the elevator, they'll cut you. They'll just go zoom right in front of you. They are the ones who are, like, running, you know, to class and stuff and cutting. They are very aggressive.
I haven't noticed that before. In my case, it's the Spurgs who run.
Like, hey, I do.
You do the Naruto run to class?
Sometimes I have to.
What do they call that?
I want to be 5 minutes early. Yeah. Is a Naruto run, like, what's that one? I haven't seen that show in a long time.
Aspergjutsu.
Yeah, I have the tail. I wear that tail, keychain thing. That I haven't washed ever.
I hate people who wear the tail.
I haven't seen that in a while, gratefully.
Yes, thankfully me neither, but, like, I have seen it. It's real. People do go out in public like this, and I'm like, your parents needed to beat you more.
You know what I saw today? Two guys holding hands.
Disgusting.
It's so gross. Like, it's like, why do this? You know that it's gross to most people.
Are
you
seriously being a fag in public?
Yeah, like, what the...
Like, I thought this was a joke.
Yeah, and you actually
are
willing...
Honestly, I feel like on a subconscious level, I have not internalized, like, people taking gay pride seriously.
They do, bro.
Like, what I have internalized is that people just put on an act.
I don't want to know what you internalized.
And try to have this, like, you know, front of being unironically boisterously proud of this, you know, sexual deviance. And so I can't ever genuinely interpret that sort of gay pride as sincere.
Well,
always see that and be like, you're just putting on a show.
Have you seen gay guys make out in public? I've seen that 2 times in my life.
No, I haven't,
and
actually.
It's the worst thing. It's the worst thing in the world. You're just like, what?
I've seen, like, non-gay people, like, kiss just because they don't give a fuck.
Oh, that's just like being a jokester.
That's just like being a fucking queer.
Yeah.
But like a hetero queer.
Yeah.
God save us. these two guys, I know for a fact they're straight, but they're just, like, liberal. And I don't know. I guess it was, like, a dare. And they were totally fine with it.
And
like,
they made out?
Right. Yes.
Oh, made out.
Like,
ugh.
It wasn't, like, made out. It was, like, it was... Okay, it was more than the fake lesbian kiss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what the fake lesbian kiss is? Where they just, like, just pucker their lip... Two girls pucker their lips out.
Yeah.
And just basically touch lips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's their tee-hee lesbo kiss.
Tee.
No, it was like, a step between that and making out.
Hmm.
So it was, like, way more than should be theatrically acceptable for whatever joke you guys are trying to make. Like,
that's just the hermeneutics of gay suspicion.
I don't think so.
No, I know.
I think that's crossing the hermeneutic line. I'm pretty sure the hermeneutics have been crossed at this point.
I mean, it's not gay to run around in the woods naked with your bros wearing Odin shirts. I mean, Odin necklace or Thor.
It's like a male form of lesbiatrics.
The first time I saw lesbiatrics, girls playing lesbianism, I was shocked. I was maybe 11. I was at sort of friend of the family's party. There was like a dance floor, a makeshift dance floor they had in the backyard. And these two broads, they were like 17. So they were younger than everyone there. They were like daughters of family friends or something. And they were like, a daughter and one of her friends were like not making out, but kissing on the dance floor and doing all that thing to get the attention from all the guys. Mm-hmm. It just grossed me out.
Dude, now that I think about it, like,
I was shocked.
The first time I've ever witnessed something akin to that, it has to be as early as like kindergarten or first grade.
What?
Or like, I can recall.
Yeah, lesbian
instances.
Honor or something.
I can recall instances of these girls who would like come up to me and they would do this thing with their hands. So it would be like, you know, they'd cover their mouths, right? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, we're going to kiss. And they just do that in front of me for a reaction. And I'm just like, I remember being repulsed by it, even though I know they're like not actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was still like the idea of it was so foreign to me and repulsive that I was like, I think I told on them. I like told the teacher on them, just being like, put an end to this.
Please. Well, I mean, it's my life. I can't handle it anymore. Just kill me, teacher, please. Don't want to see this anymore.
Damn. I hadn't ever really thought about that before, but when you put in the question of the first time you ever saw lesbiatrics, made me think. I'm like, holy shit, it was that when I was fucking 5 or 6 years old. That's not right, man.
Did you ever have any teachers that you suspected of being gay? I remember in first grade.
No, I either had teachers who were straight or people who were just like, it's not a suspicion. Like, I don't have proof, but it's not a suspicion.
For me, in first grade, there was this teacher that I had, and he was very feminine. This was like the early mid-2000s. And he looked like Ryan Seacrest. He had that very metrosexual look, you know. A sort of Will and Grace type of look, and he would have very feminine attributes, the way he did things, feminine facial expressions, and we'd always like, yeah, he's gay, he's really gay, he's a fag, you know. And I was like scared of him because I mean even then I guess I was red pilled. I'm like, I know what gays do to kids. I guess I had some knowledge.
Yeah.
There,
yeah, in my experience, like I'd love to go into the details about this just disgusting human being, but it was actually relatively recent, let's just say. So,
yeah
the first time I had the teacher who was just like, you knew he was a fag.
Oh,
I've
had.
Was gratefully only happened very late in my education, but still happened nonetheless.
And, I've had that late in my education for sure.
Well, you said you had it early.
Well, no, yeah, but like talking about recently, I've had that a lot. But the first, yeah, when I was very early, I remember, or when I was young, very early on, I remember some Ryan Seacrest looking dude. It's like the beginning of American Idol, a whole metrosexual slash kind of affirmation of the gay male. Not saying if you, oh, sorry, my watch went off. But
was that your gay nigga alarm?
Yeah, my gay nigga alarm.
You hear you talking about Ryan Seacrest. It's just beep, beep.
Meep meep.
You've referenced gay niggas too much.
Yeah. I'm starting to get into watch. It's now very autistic, but I'm starting to just... I don't have expensive watches or anything, but they're just so cool. Just
watches are nice.
It's just fun. I like digital watches. I mean, I like analog too for the looks, but...
I don't like digital watches.
For the practical use, I love digital watches because you can have the date on it. You can put an alarm on it. You can even have the seconds. It shows the seconds, how many more seconds until the minute is done. If you're very autistic, a digital watch is so fun.
You got an Apple Watch?
No, I'm talking about watch. I don't have a smart watch. I'm talking about
Would you get one?
I guess I have to. We're all gonna have to eventually. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, when we get the chip in our wrist.
I mean, it looks cool. Things you could do, but I wouldn't want it now. It's very expensive.
I have no idea how much they cost nowadays.
It would probably be cool to check my texts or emails through my watch.
Remember when iPads were hip?
Yeah.
Brand new. Holy shit, tablets. This is new.
I thought tablets were stupid at first. I'm like, just get a phone or an iPad.
Yeah,
iPod.
I'm still cynical on tablets. Get a big phone, retard.
It's true, though. It's only good for, kids.
Yeah, if you just want to zog up your kids,
yeah.
Give them the gift of an iPad.
Yeah. One of my cousins... Or is it a cousin? Cousin's kid. Whatever that would be. I don't know. He or she had an iPad when she was two. And my grandpa was watching her. And she would just go on YouTube. And she would end up on the craziest videos. And my grandpa was like, what the fuck is this? You know, there was poopy. I mean, we know about that. But it's different. It was
double pregnant Elsa.
It wasn't one of those. It was a poopy cartoon. It was all the cartoon characters pooping on each other in a cartoon form.
Oh, God.
And my grandpa was like, what the heck, kid? What is this?
I just want God to come back.
Yeah. And it was
Lord, please take me home.
I don't want my kids watching Poopy Diaper on
YouTube.
I'm
really just sick of this, and if I have to ask Christ to bear this cross for me, that the answer to that prayer means giving us that Thanos snap, man.
Well, Elsa impregnated by Salmon Roe or something weird. That's what they have.
Yeah.
But that's old news.
It really isn't in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, this is all very fucking new and unusual. The ramifications and consequences of which will not be known for at least a decade to come.
Imagine a kid raised on poop Elsa videos.
I can't, because no such thing exists. It is a formative thing becoming into existence. It doesn't exist yet. There is no kid who's ever lived, no human being who's ever lived, who was quote-unquote raised on Elsa poop videos. We don't know what this is going to do to the mass psyche of our up and coming generation to follow.
Well, to be fair, I saw a lot of disturbing things when I was young on the internet.
But you weren't raised on it. You knew more than that.
Yeah, it is true.
The reason why it could be shocking back then for you is because you had a referent.
Their referent is Elsa Poop. Elsa Poops.
Yeah, their referent is Traumatic Finger Family Song.
What's that?
So they have this
Baby Shark
AI generated thing for this thing called Finger Family Song. And so procedurally generated content uploaded to YouTube Kids will do I don't know, videos where they'll have colors come on the screen and they'll say the color and then a balloon will pop and they'll have a baby crying sound effect. And it's bizarre.
What is this, Clockwork Orange or something?
Well, if you listen to the Paranormies episode on it, they speculate that this is a form of traumatic hypnosis or something. Trauma-induced mind control, a MK Ultra type thing, where if you can traumatize a child, you can sort of induce a extended dissociative state or a fugue state, and they'll basically be constantly in a state of vulnerability to.
I want to be in a fugue state. I like Bach a lot.
Hypnotic suggestion.
Bach is really good.
And then you could like sexually abuse these kids because.
Oh yeah, you know, that's really
been
creepy.
Dehumanized.
I don't know. It's creepy. I mean, I did not have that. That is true. I did not have pop videos.
That wasn't your referent.
My referent wasn't Elsa pooping in a toilet and putting it in the bathtub or something.
So yeah, maybe we had like cartoons with like, you know, liberal informed values inherent to them, but we didn't have this shit.
Well, I was talking about the internet. Because I went onto some adult joke websites when I was very young without on accident. So I could just imagine these kids who probably, instead of me where I experienced it a few times, they experience it daily, you know, that kind of gross trauma.
Yeah, and like by the time you could look up things on the internet on your own, you already had something before that you can remember.
Yeah, because these niggas are
don't have anything. They're younger than you when you were able to look up, you know, inappropriate things on the internet.
They're not even looking up. They're just like clicking a screen. It's not even a...
I mean, if you had saw like the same things you did even earlier in your life, and that was your starting point, you'd probably be more fucked up than you are now. But these kids are getting totally fucked up shit from day one. And I mean, who knows if there's any point at which a parent becomes the wiser and intervenes. It's completely plausible, given the view counts on these videos, that you can go years of your early childhood and all the media you consume is just this bizarre, perverted, disturbing, traumatic shit.
Yeah, I don't understand how people could just let their kids... We just don't care about our kids to the point where you just give them a freaking iPad and just let them have fun. Like, it's so irresponsible. People are stupid. If you do that to your kid, I'm sorry, you're a retard.
Yeah.
And you're traumatizing. You're setting up your kid for trauma if you let him or it, male or female. I don't want to be exclusive regarding sex. That would be very bad of me. But your child should not have free range on the internet. Heck, you know, when I was a teenager, I thought this was ridiculous. Like the kids who couldn't go on the internet until they graduated high school or something. But those kids, hey, I think I might do that to my kids or something. I don't know. Cause that's, I shouldn't have been exposed to the things that I was exposed to. Yeah. But it wasn't constant Elsa poop, gratefully.
I mean, there was the whole thing back in the 90s that Columbine was inspired by it, like access to doom in your like preteen and teenage years. But this shit is no comparison, man. This is, we're talking day one to this, this bizarre shit.
Well, like the Columbine kids, yeah, they're exposed to doom when they were like 15 or something. They weren't raised on it.
Yeah, I mean, that whole narrative has real no solid basis because the media that they've consumed before that, you know, they have a point of reference and they're old enough at that age to, like, comprehend what's going on in Doom. And Doom is, like, has a plot. You can understand what's going on because it's not so just disjointed and it's not, like, created by an AI. So you can interpret its meaning and you can see how it's different from real life.
Yeah, they're just psychopathic autist weirdos.
Right.
Sick
well,
in the head.
The psychopathic autist weirdos of 2035.
Oh no.
Won't stop at the library.
Oh, that's really sad. I don't so
believe me.
Yeah, we gotta stop this. Raise your kids right. You thought
you can
it was
pull
bad.
Up this podcast in 16 years, and you will see that I'm right.
Yeah,
I don't want to be right. I just want you to stop. Prove me wrong, please.
Yeah, just stop this. You know. Yes. Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, my dear friend?
I don't know, man. The whole topic is it sort of warrants its own digestion.
So, what does that mean?
I think it's a good point to cut it off.
Yeah, it's
leave the listener to dwell on this.
Yeah. So digest this and poop it out like Elsa.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah. Baby shark, baby shark. I guess that's not bad. That's not Elsa. That's just stupid baby shark thing. That's okay. If your kid watches baby shark, that's fine.
Brainless little nursery things.
That's fine. Yeah, that's what I did when I was a kid.
I don't care. It's not going to fuck you up.
You're not gonna...
The only reason I care so much about this shit is because this isn't normal, and we don't know how we're going to react to this as a species.
Yeah.
Growing up, because there's never been a generation, at the very least in modern time, that has ever had exposure to such ideas and stimuli at such a young age and having it constantly available.
Yeah.
So like even if back in ye old days, there was only one room in the house and mom and dad still banged it out in the room. It was like at night and it was dark. There was no lights. It didn't exist. You had candle fire and that wasn't going to be lit while everyone was trying to sleep. So maybe you heard things, but it was like a constant thing. You weren't like, you didn't have these bright flashing lights in your brain like hours on end every day.
Yeah.
So there really is no comparison historically to what these kids are experiencing. And it's because abuse. Of the uncertainty of the effects of this media consumption, I can only assume the worst and just hope I'm wrong.
I mean, here's the thing, like this is, before we end, this is kind of one of the turning points for me. I mean, I was never really a capitalist libertarian guy, but I wasn't anti-capitalist. I wasn't really ideological with regard to capitalism. But this
will change your mind.
But this stuff, when you see the propaganda, it's like, yeah, we really do need to regulate the market and regulate these things, and we shouldn't allow companies to make certain products because it degrades the morals of the nation. It's just,
yeah. I mean, because
if you just let the market speak, we'd have Elsa poop all day, 24/7.
Yeah. One of the problems is that like this isn't even coming from a rational actor; it's coming from an AI. It's AI-generated cartoons using, like,
is it really?
Resources. Yeah, most of it is.
Usually it was, like, Filipino actors or something.
The ones that are, like, cartoons, acted out in real life.
The acted out ones were Filipinos and, like, Russians.
Yeah, no, those are people actually just putting on bizarre skits. But most of the content like this, in this vein, is, like, AI procedurally generated programs. And, like, some of them even will analyze the comment sections of the YouTube video to inform the algorithm for new content. So that's why you can have something like a video, Gummy Hitler fights Tyrannosaurus Rex in the desert.
I want to watch that. Wow.
Well, a computer made it, and it's now on YouTube Kids. And this computer is now a market force, but it's not a rational actor, despite
Jean
it being data-driven.
Jean Baudrillard would have a field day with this.
Oh, God, I'm glad he's not alive to see it.
Yeah, the Elsa poop. He'd have to have an essay on Elsa poop videos.
I don't want him to have to write that essay, man. I don't want to have this world where he had, where he
get
can't
Umberto
write
Eco
essay.
On here.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. it's an existential horror.
It's hyper reality more than we ever thought it would be.
I didn't want to need Kierkegaard in my life, but I think I do now.
Yeah.
Well, this is some awful existential horror.
Let's end it on a positive note and let's say you guys are awesome.
You guys are awesome and we appreciate you listening to us.
And God predestined it to be released on someday. And don't be mad at me. Be mad at nothing.
The only thing God predestined was his love for you.
And my name is Anglo, and with me I have Nikephoros.
See you guys later.
Thanks for watching or listening. Thank you.